talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still dreams. I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Let's split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing.
Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness, being brought to you proudly here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, and today's date is December the 29th, 2022, and I'm going to be very proud to be able to present to you. Many of you have heard of him. You've heard and listened to him on many other programs. 107 will be joining us momentarily here from somewhere here in the United States. This man spends more time in airplanes traveling back and forth between one coast and the other. He is working with the White Hats, with military people, with retired military people, trying to keep the balance here in the United States, keeping us from teetering over to the what we consider the edge of darkness, over the cliff. I love this song that Jeffrey Bennett has chosen for his theme song. I grew up with Simon and Garfunkel, and this particular artist's rendition of The Sound of Silence is wonderful, because if you really stop and you listen to the words, ladies and gentlemen, people are talking in many cases without saying anything. People are hearing the words, but they're not listening to the words. They're not feeling the meaning of what is happening here in the United States of America and around the world. You know, the old saying is that, you know, if you don't learn from history, you tend to make the same mistakes over and over again. Now, you and I, Christians and patriots across the U.S., we are not the ones that are basically pulling all the strings like the globalists are doing here. They have such disdain for us. They think we are the useless eaters and feeders of America. And they think there's too many of us. And really, we are not that overpopulated. If you go to countries like India and some places in South America and the Philippines, there's an awful lot of people. China is the one that has way, way many people. And yet here in the United States, when you look at the lands we have, and hundreds, even thousands of miles, square miles, with nothing but desert, high desert, woods and forests and everything, we are not overpopulated. But the globalists are using that word. They're using climate change because words have meaning. And some of these words they're using are emotionally trigger points for us. And you have to remind yourself they are using trigger words. And those trigger words are the words that cause human beings to many times be emotionally swayed one way or the other. So be very careful. It is so important that songs like this one, you really listen to the words. Those words have meaning. There are thousands of people that have ears to hear, and they are not hearing. They're not listening. Their hearts, and many times, are so full of so much that's going on, and they're overwhelmed. I myself at times, Maggie Rose, with all my training and experience in the military and as a nurse and working in emergency room and ICU and dealing with life and death, many times I felt myself emotionally overloaded. And I know you all feel the same way too. I came from a family background where I grew up in a very, very dysfunctional family. And just because some people can handle it better than others doesn't mean that they are better than those. Some people just have stronger constitutions. Some people, we could even say, are older souls, and they have learned how to be able to adapt and overcome. And then there's others that all they want to do is numb themselves from the pain and the suffering, whether it started off in childhood, whether it started off in their early relationships and their first or second marriage. They use alcohol, they use drugs as a way of numbing themselves. But the problem is, let's say you go and you drink yourself to sleep at night. You wake up the next morning, the problem is still going to be there. So alcohol and drugs do not solve the problem. In fact, they will actually make your life worse. And what is happening in this country right now is many people are telling me, they're writing to me, they're texting me, they feel so overwhelmed. They feel so disillusioned and so hopeless of what's going on. And then we have people like Juan O'Savin, who is actually out there and trying to spread the word of what's going on. There are certain things that he doesn't know. There are certain things we don't know. It's because it is, as we used to say in the military, a need to know basis. If we knew everything that is going on with the good guys, the white hats, as we call them, then that word would also get out to the bad guys, and they would be able to be two steps ahead of us. And we can't have that. We have to also understand that as they're putting out disinformation, and I mean the bad guys, we call them, as they're putting out disinformation to us, you better believe that the good guys are also putting out disinformation, because the fact is we have to catch them at their own game. We have to make them sorry that they've been doing to the world stage what they've been doing. The people at the World Health Organization, the people at the NIH, I mean, look at Fauci. Fauci himself has known darn well what he's been doing has been wrong. And what he needs to do is he needs to not have his wife in charge. Not have his wife in charge of him. She's the head of the ethics committee. And being the head of the ethics committee means that it's basically, folks, the fox in charge of the hen house is what it is. And when you look at the situation, that it seems like every time that Fauci should have been found guilty of crimes against humanity, there was his wife, the head of the ethics committee of the NIH, and she was basically doing damage control from the sidelines. So we have right now situations going on in this country where we have a lot of people that we're watching, we're looking at them, we're paying attention to what they're doing. But the courts many times are against us. And we know this. We know a lot of federal judges have been put in place across the United States that are basically very liberal, or they have the woke going on. And we have the same going on in California and Oregon, where Governor Newsom and Governor Kate Brown's are both putting judges in place, knowing they're not going to be around forever, but hoping that these judges will be liberal enough to make sure the rights of the Oregonians and the rights of the Californians are not upheld. They are violating the Constitution of California every day. They're violating the Constitution of Oregon every day. Now, 107 is going to be talking to us this evening when he comes on about the Brunson brothers. And that's what tonight's case is going to be about. This post that I'm bringing forward tonight has to do with the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, their election integrity case. It's a very important case. It's called Brunson versus Alma S, like in Sam Adams, A-D-A-M-S, et al. And it's a case right now that is being heard before the Supreme Court. And I think it's going to be heard around the 6th of January. This information that's coming forward, so you also will need to know what is happening. And I'm going to read this to you. Quote, you need to know what is at stake and the Hail Mary action that we people must take to save our United States of America Republic. Each person has the right to their own opinions and affiliations. However, we can't have a functioning society or a country unless our voting system is trustworthy. Since 2020, many have investigated and proven electoral malfeasance. Now, after the 2022 midterms, most have realized that our electoral system is totally untrustworthy. Without election integrity, we are no longer a free nation. Brunson versus Adams would seem to be a rather obscure case originating in Utah that seeks to redress for the violation of Mr. Brunson's constitutional rights to participate in a fair and honest election. Quote, after the overwhelming irregularities observed in the 2020 presidential election, ordinary citizens questioned the validity of those results. And so did some intelligence agencies. In fact, there was a palpable concern that foreign entities colluded with domestic actors to subvert the election, affect the outcome, okay, and perform maneuvers favoring of a candidate aligned with their interests. Some congressmen and a few senators raised valid arguments regarding the electoral malfeasance. The United States law provides a 10-day pause for Congress to review election-related data when such circumstances arise. And these circumstances did arise, and they did nothing. This, let's see, let me find where it is here. Put this in here. And Mike will go ahead and he will bring our guest in. So it says here, instead, Congress rushed to install what is arguably a Manchurian candidate, Biden, into the presidency of the United States. 291, that's 291 representatives, failed to perform the legal requirement for reviewing prior to certifying. They intentionally refused to investigate the evidence, and they conspired to cover it up by allowing fraudulent votes to be counted. They knowingly mock their oath to support and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Let's see here. Brunson versus Adams focuses not on the outcome of the presidential election, but on the representatives' failure to fulfill their duties, their legal duties. That is the Congress of the United States. The defendant should have rejected the Electoral College. Okay, let's see here. The defendant should have rejected the Electoral College votes from those states with untrustworthy, unreliable, and unworthy electoral systems. Instead, they, the Congress of the United States, with the backing of the Senate, committed what is technically amounts to an act of war and treason, folks. Should Brunson versus Adams succeed, the implications are staggering and life-altering. 291 representatives, 94 U.S. senators, President Biden, VP Harris, and former Vice President Pence, and I stress former Vice President Pence, are defendants who could be removed from office and or tried for high crimes. Folks, for high crimes, for their participation in this illegal operation. We must convey to the Supreme Court our support of case. And folks, I've told you before, I have a piece of paper and pen handy, especially tonight with Juan coming up with us. We must convey to the Supreme Court our support of case number 22-380. That's 22-380. We feel our nation has been captured by corruption at the highest level. and we're concerned that our country has experienced a national security breach. Our greatest right as citizens has been violated because our vote has been compromised and devalued. We are asking the justices to grant Brunson's petition. We are immediately writing letters to the Supreme Court of the United States, and we're asking you to do the same. Imagine if SCOTUS received 1 million letters from ordinary Americans. How about if 10 million students and grandmas and aunts and moms and dads sent them a note of encouragement? If America falls, so does the rest of the world. How about letters coming from Australia and Canada and Italy and Brazil, even China? We must speak up now. While SCOTUS can choose to hear this case at any time, interestingly enough, it is scheduled to be in conference on January 6, 2023. Therefore, it is critical the justices receive a wave of our letters. A wave of our letters, folks. Please share this with your family and friends and coworkers. You need to mail the letter to the Supreme Court of the United States, and Juan will be explaining more in details. Do we have Juan in the wings? Okay, says here. See if we can get him. All right. Gonna try it again. Okay. I was pretty sure we had him on there. Okay. He says he's in there looking. Mike, is it possible for you to try to see if you can get in there and try to dial him up again? Because I know that I did go ahead and accepted. See if I can find him there. Let's see if I can find him in here right now. This is crazy. Okay, let's see if I can bring him in. And I know that he should be there. I just was able to find his Skype address earlier. And I thought he was going to be able to be with us. He's there looking. Okay, what we might have to do is bring him. I'm going to have to call him on my phone and see if that will work. Because it looks like he's not able to answer somehow. Let's see if we can find him in there. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is crazy. Let's see if we can find him in there. Folks, we're trying to bring him in. He just got off a very important phone call a few minutes ago. And let's see if we can find Juan in here. I know we had him. I saw him a little while ago, and I actually sent him a friend request. He and I have done Skype before, so maybe right now he's got a different Skype address than the one he used to have. I don't know. We're going to see what we can do here, though. That's not it either. I don't know what happened to it. So let me do this. I'm going to call him on the phone and see if he'll answer. Maybe I can just put it up to the speaker here. Hi, I don't know what the quality is going to be like, Juan, but I'm putting the speaker of my phone up to the mic here of the computer.
All right.
Okay, so I'm just going to need Mike to let us know. Can he hear you well? Mike, can you let us know? Can you hear Juan okay?
I hear him, but it would be a lot better if I could get a direct contact with him. I don't think we have the correct. I don't think we have his correct Skype address. If he's not seeing anything, but
okay. So Juan, is it possible for you to give me your Skype address?
Or you can just call me. Why don't you call me here at the network directly? Okay. I can give you this number on the air. It's not private or anything.
Okay. All right. I just took you off speaker, Juan. So can you call me on mine?
Have him call. If you can give him the number I'm going to give you, then he can call me directly.
Yeah, I received it and I accepted it. Okay, so I'm looking. I know that's what. So what I do is I took you off and I have the phone up to my ear. So why don't you just go ahead and give me the personal one and I'll type it into Mike. I can't find what you sent me. So okay, let's see. Oh, there we go. Here we go. See if I can do this. So I'm going to try to ring you on Skype. I'm ringing you up. Okay. Yeah, I clicked on 107. It said 107 is unavailable. Are you still there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're probably calling it on Skype. Okay. Well, yeah, I can't find it now. So, oh, this is crazy.
I can type in a number to you on Skype and have him just call me.
Okay, let me do that. Type in the number. I'll give it to Juan. Okay, Juan, I'm going to give you a phone number and you call that number, okay? It's a private number to Mike. Okay, I'll text it to you.
If he can hear me, I can give him the number on the air. So can he hear me?
I don't know what happened. He's probably, let me see here, because I know we got people waiting in the wings there listening. Let me see here, 954. Nine. Okay, there we go. I just sent that to him. So he'll call you and then you can put him in that way.
Yeah, as soon as I have him, I can put him straight on the air, or we can try to add him on Skype, but might be best.
So what we're going to need, folks, is for you to copy your letter. You mail the original letter to the Supreme Court, and then you mail a copy of it to the Brunson brothers. And what we'll be able to do is give that information to Mike here, and then he'll be able to put that up in the Facebook here. So Juan is going to call into Mike right now. And we're going to get this information here, and Mike is going to try to put it up in the Facebook that we have here with RBN. And let's see, there we go. All right. And hopefully he's calling. Okay, Maggie Rose is here, and we are Republic Broadcasting Network. Today's date is December 29th, 2022. The time is almost 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we are now trying to bring 107 in. Folks, we're going to be talking about the Brunson case this evening, and I sent the information to Mike, and Mike is going to try to bring 107 in.
I'm not getting any call from Juan yet here at the office, so.
Oh, this is great.
I don't know what's going on. If I just had his number, I could call him directly, or he could, I don't know. You weren't able to contact him on Skype directly. You didn't get any chat responses at all today, because I don't.
Well, he says he sent me something. I sent him a friend request, which I thought was accepted, but here, I'm going to give you something here, and then you can try to, here we go. I'm sending you something right now, Mike. then maybe we'll be able, I don't know if he's in, he's traveling right now. I don't know what's going on. Okay. I'm sending you something. That's a number that you can call.
All right, I'm ringing him now. Let's see.
Okay, folks. So again, we're talking about the Brunson.
I'm transferring him. Okay. Over. He'll be up in about 2 or 3 seconds.
Okay. So, folks, these letters are really, really important. And again, when you send the letter to the Brunson brothers at 4287 South Harrison Boulevard, do not put apartment. It is not an apartment. Put down number 132, Ogden, Utah, 84403. Again, the addresses to the Supreme Court and to the Brunson brothers is now up with Mike, and he will put it on the Facebook for Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, folks, I'd like to introduce you all to a very good friend and someone who's been mentoring me for many years. I first met him in Oregon at the memorial service we had for Lavoie Finnegan. It was the 1 year to the time he was assassinated by Kate Brown, the state troopers, mercenaries, and the FBI. And we had the 1 year memorial service for him there at the place that he would have gotten to if he had not been ambushed by the different authorities and departments. And that evening after the memorial service, JC and I were sitting in the restaurant when Juan walked in and sat down at our table, and we sat there talking for hours and learned an awful lot about what is going on in this country and what's been happening around the world for basically centuries, folks. So I would like to now introduce my friend Juan O'Seven. Juan, thank you for joining us here on the Edge of Darkness with Republic Broadcasting Network.
On the Edge of Darkness? Crap, it's dark.
Well, I'm really grateful because I know you're really, really busy. And I was telling the listening audience about 20 minutes ago that you probably have stacked up more air miles than anybody we know. You are literally going back and forth from coast to coast, sometimes traveling as much as back and forth a couple directions at least 3 times a week.
Oh, yeah, I'd say that. And, you know, I'm not. I'm used to it, so it doesn't matter. And a lot of the stuff is stuff that, you know, maybe I could do it remotely, but I don't think as effectively. There's a lot of intricacies that you really have to work through, and it's just more effective to do it in person. And there's some things that I don't want to communicate otherwise. So, you know, maybe I'm overworking it at some level, but I don't think so.
Well, we did have a question for you, and this came from a lady that was in the Air Force, and I know how much that you care about the veterans, and you've worked with a lot of veterans.
I love the Air Force, but I love all the vets, too, so go ahead.
I know. And her question was, she lives in Oregon, and she's saying, what do you feel about as far as districts go, and what is happening with the redistricting? And if they were able, let's say, to take the state of Oregon, which is completely controlled by the population of Portland, Salem, and Eugene, where they're the ones making decisions for the other two-thirds of the state, and even when the other two-thirds of the state vote for a certain thing to happen, somehow it always gets upheld and overturned, and the will of the people is not followed. How would you feel about districting as far as electoral college, where each of the 36 counties would have one vote?
Well, let me just back up. I don't get too much into individual states. Oregon's one of those states that I have a lot of knowledge there. I'm familiar with a lot of the intricacies, but it is not the place that I am the most knowledgeable or something like that. It's peripheral to where a lot of my main efforts are. That said, redistricting is done because of the census. And so I've dealt with guys that actually been inside of all the census stuff for decades. And I can tell you the consensus is, after NASA, the most corrupt, the most screwed up, the most messed up agency in government is the census, by design. And because how that census is conducted, how it's entered into the computers, blah, 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 the party that controls the people doing that, they can control much, have a huge impact on the way that elections work out and can favor one party or group over another in that way that the census is recorded. And so with that in mind, when you see bizarre things out there in the census, it's for a reason. There's just so much mischief goes on there. Part that is not on most people's radar, even very knowledgeable people looking at vote issues, is how large a percentage of the mischief that's occurring in these cooked votes goes on long before anybody gets to a primary or the main election, and that's in the redistricting and the census. And so you want to one of the places that we need to really get to work is the census.
So when we see the case of what's going on right now with the Brunson brothers, from what I understand, their case is coming forward saying that the vice president, the president should be removed, that all the people that were representatives in Congress and the Senate, they committed treason. They should all lose their jobs. They should be removed from Congress and from the Senate, including Pence himself should be held up for treason. What is a picture like that for you? How would that happen? And what would happen with the continuity of our government when we remove so many senators and congressmen for treason?
Well, hold on. I think it would be a very smooth transition, ultimately. Look, if Congress isn't in session for a couple of months, that might be part of the solution to save America. When they're in session, you're in danger. You should be locking yourself in your house and hiding under the bed. Having them not in session for, 3 months, 4 months, while we go through special elections to get new representatives and senators into office, isn't going to be that disruptive. America isn't going to stop working because we have to take a pause. If we have to, we do it under an emergency basis, take a pause. But, it doesn't mean that the trucks don't roll and the airplanes can't fly and nobody can freaking, see the newscast don't go on. Come on, give me a break. In Spain, when they went through some collapses in government, the three times they went through it just here in recent history, the country thrived like it hadn't for years. We might thrive because the danger's off. People might be partying day and night just because, the witch is not coming after them. The gremlins aren't loose. And at a very specific technical level, this doesn't remove directly Biden or Harris from office, except that they're the beneficiaries of a vote that was done under auspices that were in question. The entire case comes down to a very simple question. Were the congressional representatives and senators who voted to certify the election based on the electors coming in from the states, were they under any kind of a legal obligation based on their oath to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, the Constitution being the contract between the American people and its government? Did they have a legal obligation to abide by their oath to protect that contract? So you have to add a couple of little details. The context was that there was information presented in a appropriate way by Ted Cruz and 100 other representatives and senators, and they said that the vote for the electors to certify the election, that should be delayed for 10 days on the basis of information provided by the Office of the Director of the National Intelligence, ODNI, whose name was Radcliffe, R-A-D, not R-A-T. He's not a bad guy. Director Radcliffe stated publicly that he was unable to complete his report 45 days after the election, whether or not there was foreign interference, because there were some of the agency heads, CIA, FBI, etc., in the 17 intelligence gathering agencies, there were some of the agency heads who were not cooperating, providing the information that they had accumulated during their investigation regarding Chinese interference in the election. Not Russian, Chinese. And the information was specific. Director Radcliffe had spoken to media 3 days before the report was due, as well as on the day the report was due, December 15th and 18th, and had told the media there was Chinese interference in the election. But there was not consensus on how much weight to give that interference, whether or not it actually was sufficient to overturn the election. But that's not what Cruz and the other congressional people were concerned about. Instead of doing an investigation, Congress chose to do no investigation. And in fact, Congress did not have the benefit of the information from the largest intelligence gathering machine on planet Earth, the Department of Homeland Security. Those 17 agencies, of whom Radcliffe was the director, director of National Intelligence, he wasn't able to provide his report. Congress certified an election without the benefit of any information, not one shred of information concerning whether or not there was foreign interference, let alone that it was Chinese interference. Radcliffe wanted to give it, and the agency heads wouldn't provide their report. That is insubordination. That's why the people were present with President Trump on December 18th when it was due. Pat Byrne, Giuliani, Sidney Powell, the Flynn brothers. That's why all those people were there at the White House saying, President, you've got to sign the Insurrection Act, because these guys are they're being insubordinate. They're not providing their information. They don't have that legal right to deny you that information.
Well, then why did he not sign the Insurrection Act? Why didn't he do that?
That would have caused America to go into civil war by degrees. That's what the generals told the January 6th committee. That's what I've told
there you go.
The audience. hundreds of times, including yours, President Trump initially agreed on December 18th, late in the evening, after hours and hours of discussion, to allow Sidney Powell to come back the next morning and begin to do the legal workup that would have allowed Trump to have something in front of his face to review and say, yes, this is the legal basis for signing the Insurrection Act. I'm doing it based on what these people said. Now, the context of that incident in the January 6th testimony before the Star Chamber Bullshit Committee was that after those people left, first of all, Giuliani agreed when everybody else was in the room, but subsequently when everybody else left, it was just Trump and Giuliani. Giuliani said, actually, don't sign this. You're asking for trouble. But when the whole group was there, he says, yeah, you know, let's work it up. He privately told Trump, you know, this is a mistake. You're going to have a problem if you do this. Then
right.
In the late night hours, you have got to listen to this specifically. In the late night hours, after everybody else left, Trump consulted with generals privately. That came out in the January 6th testimony subsequently over the last few months. And those generals said, sir, when we look at the situation with the country and how evenly divided it is and the information isn't there for everybody to understand what's going on here, by degrees, within months, there is a very high likelihood we will be in some type of civil unrest bordering on, leading to, ending up in civil war.
Yes.
So Trump accepted their advice. Then, as Mark Meadows came in to start the day and review, okay, what are we going to do on this? I got Sidney Powell coming in here shortly, and it doesn't look like what we were going to have her do makes sense. No problem. We're going to revoke her pass, and she won't get in. Well, she's going to want an explanation. Everybody's going to want an explanation. Sidney Powell thought that Mark Meadows was betraying the president by blocking her pass. Well, the president wanted me in there. I've got to do this. I need to be here. He wanted it. No, the president's the one that told Mark Meadows, we got to come up with a solution. And then the advice that Trump had is, you cannot have the discussion. You already had that last night. Why you're not doing this? Now, what would have happened with the information we now know about the January 6th committee, the intent, which was stated on the first day of the committee, that the purpose of the committee was to criminally charge Trump with leading an insurrection in America, trying to overthrow by a coup the legitimate elected government of the United States with a coup. Had Trump gone ahead and had Powell come in that next morning and begin to do the workup, the write-up, the formulation of the paperwork that Trump could then sign implementing the Insurrection Act, as Lincoln did. If they had tried to do that in this current time period, they would have probably created a document that would have been used by this very committee, even if Trump decided after seeing it not to sign it. See, Trump has a history of letting people do the workup, just like he did with this, all these people wanting him to go into Iran, bomb, Iran. He let him do the whole workup, get it up to a certain point. look at it, and then at the last second said, actually, no, we're not going to do that because the drone that got shot down. And pissed everybody off, but it exposed who all the players were. If Powell had been allowed to do this big workup and he had a document in front of him now, you'd have had people on both sides. He betrayed America. The document was already, he betrayed America by not signing it. Yeah, but the general said, if you do, there's a high likelihood America goes into civil war. You'll be presiding over the destruction of America. What if the chance of America going into civil war was only 10%? You're going to get on an airplane that has a 10% chance of crashing? That makes sense?
Nope.
The president had good advice. Let me finish this. This is so critical. The president had good advice that it was very dangerous and there was other options at it may not be as easy for him and his family, but you got to buy time for America to work through some of these issues and expose what's going on, because the alternative is worse by signing the Insurrection Act. And there's all these people, and I've told you about this and others about this all the way along. Oh, Trump did sign the Insurrection Act. He signed it in secret. They're doing it right now. It's all going on. I've said all the way along, that's bullshit. At a certain point, late last spring, Trump had to come out publicly and say, I didn't sign the Insurrection Act. Didn't happen. Bullshit. Well, I heard it from a friend who had a friend who was a source who sat in the White House sitting under the desk and heard every word and heard the pen on the table. Bullshit. Trump had to say it directly. I didn't sign the Insurrection Act. It came out in the January 6th committee. He didn't sign the Insurrection Act, and he didn't even let them do this workup that would have resulted in a document that would have been held against him either way. He protected America and didn't let them have their little bullshit thing. But all the players involved weren't privy to the rest of the conversations he had with real men, real women, real people that had gamed this out and said, you know what? This is not a winning course, and it's high risk. What has happened instead in the meantime, as much as people want to be hand-gripping and second-guessing and complaining and fussing, is that America got 2 years to build out, map out, look-see, and develop real data, real information on how the election was cooked. And for all that this audience and others like it are pissed off and don't understand and don't get it and are fussing and stewing as though Trump betrayed America and all the generals betrayed America and all that bullshit, they're flat ass wrong. These court cases, for all that we have judges that are finding every reason in the world to decide these cases against us, you know what? We are on the verge of flips, including in the courtroom, in cases all across the country, where you're going to get overturned decisions from these lower courts that are going to be overturned, and these things are going to go forward, and this data is going to be in there. And in fact, it's not just because of what's happening in the courts. It's also because of what's happening behind the scenes in the intelligence community. When you're doing warfare, the best platform to engage another platform is the same type of platform. It's the most effective, ultimately. Use a ship to engage a ship. Use an aircraft carrier to engage an aircraft carrier. You use an aircraft to engage an aircraft or a submarine to engage a submarine, because those like platforms have the greatest likelihood of being built out if you're really good to defeat the other one. We're in a situation where it's a spy versus spy situation. All the bullshit that was going on with the interference in our election was happening ultimately behind the scenes in the intelligence community. The people that are going to have to come out and do the whistleblowing are that are going to be the most effective in the court and out through this new era that's coming with Republicans coming into power in the House is going to be the intelligence community where the guys have been blocked off. You're about to see 2023 is the year of the whistleblower. And you're going to see information come out of the woodwork, and it's going to scare the living daylights out of every person in this audience, and even worse, all the bullshit artists and all the people taking payoffs and all the people trying to suppress and keep the truth from coming out. It's going to be the dike crumbling right there between their fingers. And it may not be
what? Hello? Are you still with us? It may not be what? I think we lost him, folks.
Yeah, let me call him back.
Call him back.
I think it's just back. A phone system issue there.
Yeah, let him know we have 6 more minutes for him to wrap it up. Folks, this is Maggie Rose, and we're going to wait for 107 to come back and join us for the last 6 minutes of the show. And then maybe we'll be able to talk for a few minutes about Brunson versus Adams. We'll definitely be talking about Brunson versus Adams tomorrow on Friday as well, because that's important that you guys get those letters written this weekend. Again, we need letters written to both the Brunson brothers and the Supreme Court of the United States. The same letter, you just copy it, stick it in 2 separate envelopes with a stamp, put a couple dollars donation if you want to the Brunson brothers, and be just proud that their case is going to be heard as one of the very few cases the Supreme Court of the United States actually hears every year. They hear less than 20 cases a year. Are you there, Juan?
Yes.
Okay, you went away for a minute there. So you're saying that when we lost you, you just got done saying it was going to be scaring a lot of people, including the bad guys that have been playing these games for decades.
Well, it's a fight. It's a chess game. They make a move. We make a move. 2023 is the year of the whistleblower, and the whistleblowers are going to dominate the conversation by the time you get partway through the year, but it'll start immediately. It started already, actually. The key thing with
you're saying right now the Brunson brothers versus Adams is not focusing so much on the outcome of the presidential election of 2020, but on the representatives like the Congress and the senators and Vice President Pence and others who failed to fulfill their legal duties, which is treason to the United States.
You need to say it with some precision. And let me say it the correct way, if I could, please.
Yes.
The entire case is, did those people that voted to certify the election do so in violation of their oath to protect the Constitution, which the Constitution is the contract between the citizens and their government. The Constitution is the protection of you as a citizen from an out-of-control government or a government that somebody has captured. It's to keep the government in line in service to the people, not the people as slaves to the government. So the Constitution limits the power of people in the government to do anything the fuck they want. So when the congressman, when anybody in a government position, police officer, military, Supreme Court justice, president, when these people come into office before they get to execute the powers of that office. They take an oath to protect the Constitution, the contract with the American people, to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, is that contract, does it have any weight? Is there any substance to it? Is it just flowery speech? Or is it a legally binding oath with consequences? The oath that all of these Congress people took to protect the Constitution, the contract with the citizenry against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when they were presented with substantive information and a challenge that they needed to stop, take 10 days, do an investigation before certifying the vote to determine if the allegation by the Director of National Intelligence, the highest-ranking person in the entire intelligence-gathering community on the civilian side, said there was Chinese interference. We don't know if it affected the election outcome or not. We need to look at this closer. When Ted Cruz and 100 other members of the House of Representatives and the Senate said, hey, whoa, slow down here. We need to find out what's going on. Director of National Intelligence says there's a problem. We don't even have the report that was due 2 weeks ago. We don't have the report from the largest intelligence gathering agency in the world concerning whether or not that Chinese interference that everybody's talking about was sufficient to overturn the election. We have to do an investigation. Congress refused to do an investigation, proceeded to do the vote, and didn't protect the interests of the American citizen. Does that disqualify them from being able to be in public office? Yes, it does. That's what this case says. It's not about
what the vote was. Are you able to come back either tomorrow or Monday?
I will try. I have very weighty things that I've got to stay focused on. We're at a critical moment with stuff that's going on. I will try, but I hope that people understand this is about oath. Do oaths mean things? From a military standpoint, I can tell you, if you don't honor your oath, you're not sticking around. Same in the intelligence community. Same in these other things. Does the same oath matter for congressional people or not? Are you the only one that you sign your tax return under penalty of perjury that you gave them a true and accurate tax return? Is their oath as a congressman any less important than your fucking tax return? The Supreme Court needs to hold them to their oath.
Well, Juan, what we'll do is we'll try. You're right. So we're going to end on that, folks. Juan 07 says they need to hold to their oath. We'll see if he can come back either tomorrow or Monday or sometime next week. Thank you, Juan 07.
Please send your letters. Please.
I'll make sure that's done tomorrow for everybody.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.